box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, and I just love it when we watch just killer blockbuster amazing movies.
Oh boy, starting off strong. Okay, we watched When We First Met, which is a 2018 comedy. It is...
It's quite touching. It's almost dramatic, one could say.
It's like a rom-com. It's a very cute, I want to say chick flick, more in that field. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's a rom-com, and so I thought, we got to put a twist on this to make it stand out. What's the simplest thing we could do? And let's not worry whether it makes sense or not.
So the premise is, after spending a night with the girl of his dreams, only to become just friends, a man gets the opportunity to travel through time and alter the night over and over again until he gets everything perfect.
Does he time travel in a DeLorean in this movie?
You know what? I can already hear so much sass in your voice.
Oh, wait, no. Is it a phone booth? Does he time travel in a phone booth?
It's not a phone booth. It's a photo booth.
Of course.
It's an antique photo booth.
Okay, no DeLorean, but does Huey Lewis make a cameo sound appearance?
One thing at a time, okay? One thing at a
time. I'm just so excited. I can't help it.
This movie has Adam Devine, I think is how you say his last name, and Alexandria Daddario.
Alexandra.
You might not know the name, but you've probably recognized her face many times in movies. First of all, I have to tell you, I actually enjoyed this movie.
That's intriguing. An intriguing opinion. I mean, as far as a rom-com goes, yeah, it's not bad. It was not predictable. It is a lot of cliches in it. But my big issue is just this logic, the time travel. I mean, it doesn't have to make complete sense, but at least prove to me you tried to have it make sense, and they didn't try it. I don't understand. I mean, I don't even care that he time travels to the photo booth. Who knows how that works? That doesn't matter. But just how he travels and to what days he travels to, what's the trick? The movie has no clue, and I find that a little disappointing. I just wanted there to be more with that, about there's some kind of lie. Like, I thought about the butterfly effect while watching this movie, and that the guy can time travel just because he can, but at least there's an internal logic that makes sense, that's consistent, and I wish this movie just had some kind of consistent logic to a time traveling photo booth. Is that too much to ask for?
It is too much to ask for. I didn't mind that they didn't get into all of that on time traveling and how it became possible that he would go and take this picture and why him. I didn't really get bogged down
in
all
why
of those details.
Like, all right, I get going back to that special night. Great. But then he skips back to the day after, 3 years in the future. Why does he skip back to that particular day? How can he not remember a single thing? And then he keeps leapfrogging back and forth. That's why it's Butterfly Effect, because he can leap from 2014 to 2017. But at least Butterfly Effect, the guy remembered all this stuff. Like, he had that knowledge. And I don't know, I'm going to get into that, because there's some big gaps there that need to be addressed, demand to be addressed.
Yeah. I took it with a grain of salt. I took it as if it was like a Hot Tub Time Machine type movie. It's just, they just needed some sort of vehicle to get him to the past so that he could try and get his dream girl. And I was fine with that.
And I
didn't need an explanation.
I'm fine with the photo booth. I'm fine with going back to 2014. But why he goes back to 2017 that particular day, why he can't remember anything, why any of it? Like, and because it kind of flirts with the butterfly effect, but it's such a narrow thing that, yeah.
Yeah, so
it could have been better. This could have been so much better with very little effort.
I think it was fine the way it is.
No, it's not.
I'll take it
Don't
as it is.
That. No,
it starts.
Don't settle.
No, I'm fine with it. I thought it was a very cute movie. It was satisfying to me, and that was great. It starts kind of at the end. You start by seeing him at an engagement party, and the woman that he loves is getting married to somebody else. So then they kind of take you back in time and show you how it all started. I don't understand why you have a problem with him going back to this particular moment.
No, I don't. I don't have a problem with that. That's not my problem. That's cool. That's fine.
So he goes back. Well, the moment that gets replayed a million times is when he meets her at a party. And then he's dressed up as, like, Garth from Wayworld, and she's dressed up as from A League of Their Own, and it's some sort of
Which
weird...
awesome costume. Like, I completely love the A League of Their Own reference.
Yes. And he saves her from a drunk Hulk throwing up on her or getting alcohol on her or something like that.
Spilling a drink on her. There's no vomit.
And that's their
movie.
Meet cute, basically. And from there, they sort of have this very cute instant connection and all sorts of things unfold. So that's
I love
the point
that
in
at a raging party, they can hear each other and we can hear them perfectly fine at a raging party. Like, they're not even yelling. Like, hey, how are you doing? I'm pretty good. This is a nice party.
Yeah.
But before you get into that, like, one thing, I watched the trailer first just, you know, to see what I was getting into. And so I completely missed this little trick they did. It starts with Adam Devine in this sweater that I don't know what bet he lost to have to wear that, but he's wearing the sweater. And he's at an engagement party. And I knew it wasn't his engagement party.
Yeah.
Because I'd seen the trailer. And so then we get a little bit farther and I realize, oh, this is pulling a switch. We're supposed to think it is his engagement party. But the trailer really robbed me of that. And I was a little disappointed because that would have been a neat twist if I didn't completely know what was happening.
Well, we knew instantly it wasn't his engagement party because he has a little breakdown, I think.
Well, yeah, but I mean, after like that little meet cute, you think, oh, this is how we met. You thought that was how he and his bride-to-be met.
But then there'd be no movie. The whole point
of
the movie
but,
is
like,
he
I like the twist,
it.
But I didn't realize as Robbie Amell was coming into the picture because I thought we knew that from the very instant the movie started. We don't find that in until 2 minutes later. And I just wish the trailer hadn't robbed that. I mean, they didn't have to show this exact scene already and the big reveal. They could have shown a trailer for the movie that doesn't include that.
I don't think they were putting that much effort into it. It's just
so
fun...
were you team Robbie Amell or team Adam Devine?
I was team Adam Devine. I wanted him to be happy. I'll say that. I won't get too far into the movie, but I just wanted him to be happy from the start.
What about Robbie? Why didn't you want Robbie to be happy?
I wanted him to be happy too, but, you know, you're following Adam around... And
yeah, but I didn't want to be. That was not by choice. The movie forced me into that. I wanted to follow Robbie. I was shipping for Robbie and Alexandra. I wanted them to get together. Those feelings only intensified as we got closer to the end of the movie.
Those two were too perfect together. It was like nauseatingly perfect together.
I loved it.
And Adam was sort of this kind of like weepy underdog that you can root for. He's like a big, cuddly Winnie the Pooh type of character. And so I definitely wanted him to be happy from the start. So if that meant going with this woman that he thinks he loves so much, then so be it. I was rooting for them.
Have you ever seen in life, in movie, anywhere, a young jazz lounge singer?
I just wondered,
what am I getting into with a movie that is going to try to force this upon me?
Yes, so Adam's character is, in fact, a pianist. A jazz lounge pianist, yes. But, you know, you see older gentlemen and ladies who are jazz pianists, so they must have started somewhere, Ward. They must be in the lounges somewhere doing
it. Well, yeah, but they started back in the day. I just don't think there's any younger people saying, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to become a jazz pianist. I don't think that's happening. But here's the thing.
I was going to say, I think that perhaps that just adds to his old soul characteristics and one of the reasons that we like him a little bit more.
What else bolsters the old soul tag? Because that would be the only thing that I saw.
Well, I think that's it. I think that's enough of us to realize that he's cut from a different cloth, you know? I don't know what the characters' names are, honestly. I've forgotten. But
Noah.
The pretty boy.
Adam Devine is Noah.
Noah, okay.
Robbie Amell is Ethan.
Ethan, okay.
Man, did you even watch this movie? They say their names so many times that halfway through you should have a handle on them.
What's Alexandria's? What's
Avery.
Her name? Avery. Okay.
Her friend is Carrie.
Okay.
And I don't know Noah's friend, but I know it's King Batch. That's all I know. Malcolm? Could be Malcolm. I don't know.
Okay,
I know
so
King
Noah,
Batch is the actor.
Noah is in love with Avery, and Ethan is also in love with Avery. Okay. Got it.
But I will say, the cool part of this movie, and I really like this part, you know, they had like Noah and Avery have a great night together. They really hit it off. Somehow they become just friends. The whole thing's a little stilted. It's a little too easy. That's fine. But the cool moment is, the reason Avery met Ethan is that that night, she and Noah were eating cookie or cereal. She ran out. She had to buy more the next day. Went to the store and met Ethan. Like, I like how that intersected. I wish the movie had more of these kind of neat intersections that are slightly tangential to the main plot. That was actually cool. The movie didn't do enough of that.
That was cool. They're in their lounge. Let's go back to a little bit of this plot for people who haven't seen it. And Ethan is kind of showing off that he knows how to play the piano. And Avery is saying that she loves Count Basie. And they're just hitting it off. And they decide to take pictures in the antique picture booth.
Can I just jump in just because this is time relevant? He's playing that piano. And I get he works there.
Yeah.
But I just would think that, A, is he the only pianist? Do they not have somebody come in when he's not working? And B, if you're the manager and you heard the piano going, wouldn't you want to come out and say, who's playing my piano? Oh, no, it's just you. That's cool, man. Game on. I feel like somebody should have said something. Or even a coworker said, hey, it's your night off. Why are you here?
Yeah, that was a little weird. Because he's dressed like Garth because he's still from the you know, costume party.
He didn't always dress down, like that? I just thought it was his normal attire.
And he's just sitting down playing the piano with someone who's from A League of Their Own leaning on the piano. So that is weird. We're going to have to just go ahead and put aside what we think should happen, like the reality of the situation. Just
yeah, you got to check reality 2 seconds into this movie and do not pull reality back, because it's never going to come back. It's nowhere close.
You really do.
And like, but the time travel is the least of the weird reality stuff. Seriously, the least.
So he and Avery have a really good night, like you said, and they go back to her apartment and they have really good discussions. They play foosball. They do all this great stuff. And then he leans in for the kiss and she leans in for a hug. And she makes a comment that, "I'm so glad I have another male friend." And so we know from there on that they're friends. 3 years pass on this timeline, and that's where it ends up, where she is now getting married to Ethan. And then the time travel begins. Any problems with that? That seems pretty solid.
No. Well, perfect. You know, when he first time travels, I knew it was coming. And I was trying to figure out, all right, like, what's the trip? Do you have to be pining after this girl you can't have? Oh, wait, no. Do you have to be pining after this girl and drunk? Is that the trip? Oh, no. Do you have to be pining after the girl, drunk, and just completely forlorn in this photo? Like, I was wondering, what's the trip? You know, because some movies, people time travel and they have to figure out, well, what did I do to make that happen?
No, not
And I quickly realized, okay, that's not this movie. It's just
you
go to the photo booth.
Yep.
And I'm completely fine with him going back to, like, this crucial day that affected his future. But it makes less sense as to why he came back to 2017 the next day, because that day's not necessarily crucial. It's there just so we can get these, I don't know, these little plot points of butterfly effect stuff.
Saying.
Like, there's really no reason for it. Like, it's not that impactful of a day. I don't know. It'd be cool if he went back to the past and just had to live the 3 years again. I don't know. And I take issue with, like, his first instant, he goes back to fix that night. He's going to change everything and use the knowledge he's gotten from Avery to be what he thinks is her perfect man.
Right.
And my thought is, wouldn't you just tweak a couple things? I mean, if you change everything, to me, that's a greater percentage of a chance that you're going to fail. Why not tweak just a couple things and think, man, if I just lock these down? Because obviously, he knows she likes him. He just needs to get over that line.
Yeah, he goes a little crazy the first time he goes back. He does everything.
He goes crazy
overboard.
Every time. Every time is crazy time.
The first time it's super crazy because he knows Avery so incredibly well that he basically is finishing her sentences and appears very stalker-ish. It's very creepy the first time he goes back.
But I will say, like, yeah, going back to the present, I didn't like that. But the whole, he addresses James Bond, and that whole, when he goes back to the future, and they don't know him at all. They hadn't seen him until that night. And then he goes to their engagement party. That was funny.
Some of these, okay, I understand. I think I understand what your problem is with this movie. On why they're like skipping 3 years ahead to 2017 so that we can see
what
has happened.
It's a shortcut for jokes, a shortcut for plot, a shortcut for everything. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but you've got to do something to make it work. It's not hard.
Yeah, I suppose so. Because he goes back in time, he has his perfect day, and then he wakes up 3 years in the future so that we can see what has been happening, and he has no memory of it. Yeah, that is weird. Especially when he wakes up, like, in her bed, and he's a total, like, creep, and it's very sketchy.
Well, the creep or the jerk, like, the jerk with the frosted tips?
Frosted tips, yeah.
Here's my issue with that. Like, the thing I guess I get, but I don't quite get, who was it? His friend, I think it's Malcolm. I'm just going to call him King Batch, because I know that's the actor. He tells me, oh, you got to be a jerk to girls. That's how you've got to do it. So he acts like a jerk. Skip to 3 years. And at this point, he has no knowledge of the past 3 years. So we're led to believe up to this point. He sees Alexander. He thinks it's just, I guess it's the next day, 2014, not 2017. I'm not sure. He cuddles with her. And she's like, yo, what are you doing? You're the typical jerk. You wouldn't do that. Well, here's my question. And it doesn't have an answer. But are we to believe that he kept up the jerk persona for 3 years and never let it down? I mean, wouldn't you think that his inherent person, eventually he dropped that facade?
Did you see what he was wearing? Did you see his frosted tips?
I mean,
clearly he's kept it up for 3 years.
But, I mean, the whole thing, it's there for a joke. And I want a little bit of backbone there, a little bit of logic there. Are we led to believe he kept that facade? But, I mean, really, the fact is, it's there for a cheap laugh. I'd like to be a little deeper to know, like, let them have the movie tell us he kept up that facade for 3 years.
This movie doesn't need to be deep. Not every movie needs to connect all the dots.
But it has to have some kind of logic.
I would disagree that every movie.
The only movies
that
don't need logic are ones that are on rail shooters / fighters. They don't need logic. Beating people up, great. Racing movies, you probably need a little bit of logic there.
Comedies can go this route. Like, I keep
not
thinking
good
of
ones,
the...
though. No,
well, no, that's
I don't
true.
Like any comedy that is this shallow.
It is shallow, but that's part of its appeal. Sometimes
nah.
you just want to sit down and zone out
no.
and just be, like, mildly entertained. So you don't have to think about it very much. And that's what this does. Can I just say, go back to this... The friend tells him basically to act like a jerk so that the girl will like him. Can we please just get rid of this trope? I'm so sick of it. I feel like, first of all, it's been done to death. Second of all, it is 2019, people. We do not need to keep telling young guys to act like jerks so that girls will like them. Like, let's just put that aside. So I was disappointed that they used yet another tire trope there. And like you said, that he kept it up. It was very cliche. So that was probably my least favorite timeline. There were some fun ones.
There were only three timelines. Like, you just said a third of the timelines you don't like.
Well, I thought it was fun when he got super rich, you know? He woke up in his mansion, and he has the engagement party with Avery, and their faces are on the plates that they're going to be handing out as, like, little, you know, what are those?
Yeah, this movie is big on the plate.
Yeah, the faces on the plates. I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun.
But, you know, I mentioned that when he was a jerk, he had no knowledge of the past 3 years.
Right.
But when he's the businessman, like, house daddy guy, I don't know what you call that, he can speak, I don't know, Chinese.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he actually has some ingrained knowledge there,
yeah.
which further complicated things for me. Like, if they just cut that out, at least we have a consistent logic with that. It's like, well, wait a minute. You told me this was not true, that this should not be happening. It makes even less sense.
I don't know about that. I enjoyed it.
Well, I hate this movie. But I do want to skip back.
Okay.
To something I actually enjoyed. I think this is at the very beginning, but Avery's friend Carrie, she is a photographer. Well, they said she's a photographer, and at first I thought they were joking because she's photographing the engagement, and she just yells candid at people and snaps her photo. I'm like, oh, they're just making fun of her. She's not a real photographer. But she actually is, which is bewildering on so many levels. Like, I don't understand
it. I agree. Because you know that was going to come back at the end. You know that cute, like, it was supposed to be a cutesy thing that she does. That candid, snap. So you knew it was going to come back in the end. And that he was going to use that on her. But so.
Wait, I think at the very beginning, Carrie is driving Noah home.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm analyzing things way too deep, but
probably
that's what this movie makes me do. I blame the movie. She's taking Noah home. I assume she, A, has to know where Noah lives, or B, Noah gave her an address. She stops at the curb, he gets out, and she says, "This is not your house, this is a bar."
Yeah.
I mean, did she not know where she was going? Didn't she know where his house was? There's just so many things that make no sense, and
he stumbled out of the car because he was, like, angry at her for kind of spilling some truth on him. I think you're being a little harsh on this movie, Ward.
And while we're on this topic of this movie, I also want to add, like, I like Carrie's a character, kind of, but the fact she drove an old Ford Bronco, it just felt so false. Much
really?
Like all this movie, I would say everything in this movie rang false, painfully false.
I would disagree.
Name me
one
truthful feeling thing that, like, felt real. Authentic.
How about the end? Like, the end when he and Carrie start chit-chatting?
Someone died in?
Really? When he and Carrie started chit-chatting?
Which part of the end?
Like, the very end. Sort of when he realizes
2014 end or 2017 end? Because I have an issue with that.
2017 end. Oh, you have an issue with the 2017
end? Like, 2014, Carrie and Noah hit it off wonderfully. They do not talk for 3 years. They don't interact for 3 years.
No. Wait. No. That was a different... That was, like, a different timeline.
Was that a different one?
I think so. When he and Carrie hit it off,
yeah,
that led to something different.
Oh, yeah. He skipped. So did he not see her in, like,
right,
the final one?
Right, for 3 years, he didn't really see her again.
But, like, 2014, what happened to that? Did he talk with her at all in 2014?
Yes. In 2014, he and Carrie had a really good night together. Carrie explained that Avery actually doesn't like Count Basie, that...
Yeah. I thought that was all... Like, I kind of knew that was going to come, but
that
I liked
good.
That.
Yes, and then you skip ahead, and they're not together. They're going to the engagement party, and he kind of sees her again. So it's been, like, times where she went off and did her own thing. Like, they just had one night together that was really sweet, and then they went off and did their own things. So they haven't seen each other in 3 years.
Yeah, but I don't understand how they, like, a night like that, you don't interact with that person for 3 years. That
well, she seemed to be a little bit not wanting to be in a relationship. Like, you got that vibe from her, right? That she was kind of like a free spirit type of person and didn't want to be in a relationship. So my impression
But who
of
else
that,
is she going to talk Count Basie with? You know, there's only like one person in the world you can talk Count Basie with. I feel like they would have come together at some point in 3 years.
Well, here's
And
the
nothing
thing.
You can say will change my opinion.
I think part of this movie's message is that you have to be
I'm
patient.
Glad you didn't say appeal, because I was going to go off if you said appeal.
Part of the message is that you have to be patient and you have to know when the right time is. So in 2014, it was not his and Carrie's time to be together. So he realized that Carrie was the person for him, but that 2014 wasn't the right time. So he went back to 2014 and literally did everything the same as the very first night that he met, Avery, so that in 2017, it would be his time to start dating Carrie. Because she would be ready, and he would be ready. I like
the
ending of
this
movie.
His final trip in 2014 was not the one where he and Carrie have a deep conversation?
No, the final trip in 2014, he literally did everything the exact same way as when he first met Avery. He didn't change a thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess I remember. Okay. Now I got
Which
mixed
I thought
up.
Was, I thought that was a nice ending to this movie. I kind of liked it,
but there's just, like, at this point, there's so much I don't like that can't tip the scale. But yeah, I mean, I like that. And it has this whole, oh, be yourself, you know, you can't change. Like, I kind of like that. But we've seen a lot of these, I can't think of what the trope called, like where you repeat the same day over and over. And this is kind of that. It's kind of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And this just didn't really do anything different. I mean, base is there. It could have been better in every way.
I mean, these movies, these sort of Groundhog Day movies, back in time movies.
But let's not group Groundhog Day with this, because Groundhog Day is miles, light years.
Sure. But the idea that you go back
honestly,
and you relive
this probably makes The Butterfly Effect look like a masterpiece.
Well, The Butterfly Effect is in a different category as well. That's like more of a drama.
But that's not really a good movie. But
no.
What is this called? When? How We Met?
You know, I kept looking up what this movie is called. I kept forgetting. I don't know what this movie is called. When We First Met. Okay. It's not a great title. It's not memorable. But I thought this one was fine. I was thinking, when I watched this, I was thinking Hot Tub Time Machine, and I was thinking 13 Going on 30. And those sort of movies. Those sort of fun, kind of, you don't have to think too hard, surface level comedies with a little bit of a message to it. And I was fine with that. I thought,
is Hot
you know,
Tub Time Machine good? Is it enjoyable? I mean, no. Obviously your opinion's kind of off.
It's not good, but it's enjoyable.
How
it's
does
enjoyable
it compare to this
enough.
Movie?
I would say they're both the same. I would
oh,
give
I hate
them
C's. This movie, so I'd hate Hot Tub Time Machine, though.
I would give them 5 out of 10s. They are what they are. You know what you're getting when you sit down to watch a movie like this. And that's fine.
But a bad movie should ascribe to being a good movie.
I don't think this is a bad movie. I think this is just an average movie in its category.
Below average.
Average. Just
average. What,
average
in its category?
Yeah,
is the category being rom-com?
No, I would say the category... Well, no. I would say this is more of one of those... You know, I like a groundhoggy type.
Do not
like,
reference Groundhog Day in this movie.
I know I don't
sense.
Want to because I know it makes you angry, but like it's that going back in time and day type of thing. Whatever that.
If you're gonna put this in a time travel category, this is pure garbage. I'd give it average in a rom-com category.
In a rom-com category, yeah, I would say it's average as well. But I would put it.
But
more
in time
in
travel,
like
this is pure garbage
time.
As far as time
no,
travel goes.
Comedy time travel. Comedy time travel.
Comedy it's time travel?
Yeah, Hot Tub.
I don't even know if I know enough about that to rate.
Yeah, there's some of them.
Because Hot Tub, I've seen Hot Tub Time Machine streaming so many times, and I watch everything time travel, and I've never watched that, because I keep thinking, I have my reservations, I'm not going
to
do it.
Well, I mean, it's not great, but you get a couple chuckles out of it, and there's a sequel to it, you get a couple chuckles out of that.
I don't know, I'm not sure I would.
To get out of it.
I expect more. I have high standards for my movies.
For, like, comedies and this kind of stuff, I'm fine with it. In my notes, I wrote park montage. Do you have any idea what that is? Park montage.
I don't know about a montage, but there's a sequence where, I mean, it takes Noah way too long to realize he's in 2014, despite all. I mean,
oh, yes.
He should have realized earlier, but they drag it out just for the cheap jokes. Whatever. But he goes to the park and sees Carrie taking photos and is trying to convince her, hey, you know me, which sets up that stalker timeline, but it's not a montage, so I don't know.
I don't know, but I will agree that it took him way too long to figure out that he was going back in time. Like, every single morning, when it's so obvious that this is happening to him, he would just go about his day as if he was not, you know, magically transported back 3 years. I agree with that one. That was...
Well, what kind of life do you live where your house slash apartment has not changed in 3 years.
Well, it was depending on the timeline. He ended up having a really big mansion in one. And one of them, the photo booth got moved to his house. So, I mean, he had a photo booth in his house.
No, the big mansion, I mean, that is some fast track upper management trajectory stuff to do that. Like, he goes from mailboy to wooing clients in Japan. That's crazy. Oh, no,
because
China.
Because he wants to be with Avery so badly. It kind of,
I mean, I don't care,
like,
how many wants to be there. Like, that just, I don't think you can jump up the ladder that fast.
Well,
from
the 2017, in the 2017 original timeline, his friend jumped up that fast.
Well, he jumped up, but I never thought that his friend had a big mansion and a Porsche.
I don't know. We never got to see it. Who knows?
His friend, King Batch, he got famous on Vine.
Oh, really? Is that so?
He is Andrew Batchelor. He got famous on Vine. His Vine handle or screen name, what do they call those? King Batch. Okay. Now he's an actor. And you know what? I thought he did a great job in this.
Oh, yeah. He did fine. He did great. I have no problem with any of them. I think they all did fine. Do you like Adam Devine's stuff? Because
nope.
His comedy... Okay.
That was another big issue for me. I never once even remotely liked him.
Oh, my gosh. You were just so certain on it. Nope. Absolutely not. He reminds me a little bit of Adam Sandler because he does like a voice that kind of grates on my nerves a little bit. Like,
I'll give him that, sure.
Yeah.
Grating on nerves, check that box.
But I think he's fine. Like, as long as he sort of keeps that voice of his in check, I think it's fine, you know? But you're like very anti.
I told you, man, I was Team Robbie from start to finish.
Great.
Like the Huey Lewis and the News, you know, the Back in Time song.
Yes.
I get it, but does this movie really think it should reference much better movies and remind people, like, hey, remember this good movie about time travel? It just seems like a mistake to do that. You don't want to bring up good movies in people's minds when they're watching When We First Met.
I don't know. You took way more offense of this movie than I did.
It's just so lack of thought. Lack of creativity. It's just, what's the easiest way to get to point A to point B? Who cares if it makes sense? Hey, what's a good way to fit this gag in there? Like, everything's just shoehorned in to just kind of work. They took a big hammer and made it fit. And I could have used a little bit more time on this. It wouldn't have been a lot of trouble to make some of this stuff work better. I mean, you're not going to make this movie great.
Sure.
But there's some gaping holes. It could have been better. If they just nailed down the internal logic of this time travel thing and whether he remembers stuff or not, how that works... Because when he's a businessman and he spoke Chinese, that undercut a lot of what we had seen. And why even do that? I mean, they do it for the cheap joke, but you know what? Once you get the idea, go back and revise your script. You don't have to do this in one sitting. You can go back and revise it.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Hey, can we talk about the predatory nature of this movie's concept?
Sure, go ahead, please. I agree with that, actually. Go ahead, please.
I mean, I'm going way too deep. Like, I know what this movie is. I know... It's not really the movie to make a stand on this, but it's just interesting. Yeah, especially his first run to make this better. He has all this knowledge of her, and it's straight up cheating.
Yeah.
It's predatory to use this information,
yes,
she has.
It's creepy
to portray himself as somebody differently. And I don't know. I guess I just don't understand it, because let's say he was successful.
Yeah.
You're just going to live that life for the rest of your life? It just seems like so much effort, and the reward's not there. Like, yeah, Alexander Daddario is great. It's not worth it, though. I wouldn't want to lie for the rest of my life just to do that, because I don't know. Maybe I'm just off. Maybe I just don't have Adam Devine's insight into the world.
Well, it seems very clear that he's willing to do whatever it takes to get her, which is a little bit unsettling. She clearly does not want to be with him. She clearly says, we're just friends. He pines over her for 3 years. That is a long, creepy time to pine over somebody. And then to go back in time and try to manipulate her to fall in love with him... Yeah, I would say that has a little bit of a predatory undertone to it, a little bit of a creepster.
Pining over 3 years, I'll give him that, as long as he doesn't turn it into a You Season 1 type scenario. Like, as long as you're pining from a distance, that's great. But once you start...
I don't know, I guess. Is that good? Is it really good for your, like, emotional well-being?
Is it good for your emotional stability? No. But as long as you're not harming anybody, breaking their house or murdering their friends... Poor Peach. I think it's fine.
Okay. I'll let you have it.
What else does Noah have to do in his life? Like, he needs something. That's his hobby, man. Everybody needs a hobby. That's his. As long as he keeps it self-contained, I got no issue with it.
Ugh. I don't know. That's creepy. 3 years is a very long time. I feel like he should have been able to move on sometime in there between her dating pretty boy and getting engaged to him and having their faces on plates. Like, somewhere in between there, he should have been able to move on and accept the fact that they were just not right for each other. And then wouldn't she have shown her real personality at some time in those 3 years too? Because we learn that everything Noah likes about Avery was manifested by Carrie being friends with Avery. Like, Carrie is the one who likes playing foosball, and Carrie is the one who likes jazz and taught Avery about jazz. And so everything
Carrie has the cool costumes.
Carrie has the cool costume. That was Carrie's costume, the League of Their Own costume. So wouldn't sometime in those 3 years in the original timeline, he would have realized that Avery is not the person that she presented herself to be that first night?
Yeah, that's a weird thing, because towards the end, this completely pulls the rug out from Avery. And I was left wondering, who is this person? What does she do? Yeah. But then again, I don't even understand, because if she's idiot, it makes this even stranger, because why is she like jazz? Is she just trying to impress Noah? And if so, if she likes him enough to lie, then why are they just, like, none of it makes any sense.
That is a good point, too, because she lies the entire time they're together. So why would she do that? That's a good point, too.
Well, the thing is, if she didn't lie, there'd be no plot to the movie. I mean, this movie's like, we've got to figure this out. Who cares? Just, we got to get to the end. We got the start. We got the finish. Get there.
Well, I will give them that. I wasn't sure how it was all going to play out for Noah, because they introduced Carrie so subtly in the beginning. She was such, like, a minor character that I really wasn't sure if she was going to be the love interest or not. Because usually in any sort of rom-com where you have someone pining for someone who's not reciprocating for it, there's always like a friend in the background, and that friend is the real love interest. So I wasn't sure if Carrie was going to be there or not until like halfway through the movie. And then I was like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. So
their first long talk between Noah and Carrie, I was like, yep, they're going to match up.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
no,
first time.
I didn't.
The one thing that surprised me, I really figured that King Batch and Carrie in one of the timelines would have somehow paired up. I was surprised they didn't do that.
Yes,
and I
see?
Appreciate that. Like, I like when the movie defies that.
Yes.
But with all the tropes they jump into head first, why not just do that one?
Well, see, that's why I was, like, not sure who Carrie was going to end up with, because she and the friend had such good chemistry in one of the timelines. They were chit-chatting about, like, some Instagram account or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, so those two are going to get together. And then who's Noah going to be with? So I, you know... Yeah, I thought it was kind of a little bit confusing at times, which I appreciated. So.
Well, because I thought Carrie getting with King Batch was going to be the tripping point for Noah and think, huh, like, you know, like that would just make him take a step back and look at Carrie in a different light.
Oh, that would have been
But it didn't
good.
Go that way. But instead, he liked her. Oh, yeah, they had that one talk. But how did that start? How did that start?
It was one talk. So when he goes back in time, he realizes that he is not... So he realizes he's not meant to be, and he wants Avery to be happy, even if it's not with him. So he finally has gotten to a very mature place.
Yeah, and so which I like. I thought that was, you know, a nice arc for him.
I like how he set it up so that she would have the meet cute with Pretty Boy, but also the fact that he brought Pretty Boy to the party after just, what, like literally knocking on his door and saying, follow me. And that's how Ethan got to that party, so they can have their meet-cute? That
it
was
makes
weird.
Me question Ethan's decision-making.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, because if Adam Devine stood on my door, the door would not open.
You wouldn't open that door?
Wouldn't even open
Keep
the door.
Keep that door closed? Nope. Okay, got
I'd
it.
I'd call my dog, get my dog in the front.
Wow, you really don't like him.
Nope.
But yeah, so that's how they end up talking that night, because now... You know, Carrie is not making out with some creep guy, and so...
All right, I know I should remember this, because I just watched this movie yesterday, but I just want to confirm this. So, in the scenario where he brought Ethan to the party and tried to force him with Avery...
Yes.
That one wasn't his final narration. He had to go back and do another one where it was exactly the same as the first time?
I think that is not the final. Because I feel I could be wrong, honestly.
I watched this less than 24 hours ago.
I mean, I watched this, like... I don't know, like a week ago, so I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that it's not... He has to go back and do everything the exact same as the very first time, which means he doesn't even talk to Carrie in that first timeline. So he has to go back and relive that. So I don't think that was the last one. Then when he set Avery up, I don't think that was...
What happened in that one then? What went wrong
with
that
one? That's what I said. They had their good conversation. They went their separate ways. And then
he
confronts
her. Was that the one... So in that one where he set Robbie and Avery up, Did he meet Carrie or not meet Carrie?
He did meet Carrie. They had that great night together. 3 years later, he goes and, like, confronts her and is like, I want to be with you, I want to be with you. And Carrie's like, we had one night together 3 years ago, yeah, and then I haven't talked to you since then.
Yeah, she's got that other guy.
Yeah, so...
But see, that's why I was mixing up before. Why wouldn't they have talked? I mean, obviously they both would have been amiable to a talk, but they didn't just because it would mess up the plot this movie's trying to force down
the throats. Well, or they're just trying to say that you have to be patient and the timing has to be right, and for them it wasn't right back then in 2014. Like, Carrie went off and did her photography stuff. That's what she wanted to do with her life. And then in 2017, she was more open to the idea of having a relationship. So,
it's intriguing. You know, your take is this movie's preaching patience. I never got that. I just took it more as you just have to be yourself. You can't force, lie, cheat, or steal to make somebody like you.
Well, that's also a very good takeaway, I would definitely say.
You think in season two of You, you think Joe's going to watch this movie and be like, oh, snap, that's what I'm doing wrong.
I did think of you several times while watching this movie. But we do, because it's a little creepy at times.
You know, Netflix owns this movie. They own You. I want to see Adam Devine in a cameo. Ooh, have Joe kill Adam Devine. That would be cool.
Oh, too far.
You know Joe's going to kill somebody. That's what Joe does.
Well, he's going to kill a lot of people in You season two, but I thought this movie was just fine. Just fine. That's my great review of this movie. Just fine. All right, do you want to do some stats on it?
Are there stats?
This movie got a 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I actually feel is a little low. I would have given it like a 5 out of 10, I feel like. Would have been perfectly fine with it.
That's a little high.
Oh, gosh. You know, you're just hating on it so much. We have some people who really loved the movie and thought it was amazing.
Who?
No, listen. This one said, okay, the movie is perfect. There's 3 R's and it's all in capitals, so it has to be true. This is actually one of my favorite rom-coms so far, and I'm always a fan of Adam Devine's acting. Love the cast, and their acting was amazing. Obviously, Alexandria looked as beautiful as always. The movie enlightens so much that it brings good vibes to me, and the ending got me so good, like, seriously good. Only thing that I'm disappointed about this movie is the injustice to other influencing actors. I think the other important characters were as much vital as the actors in the poster, and it wasn't fair enough to boycott the other vital cast of the movie in the posters.
I don't even know what that is saying. The whole cast wasn't in the poster?
Yeah.
That never happens.
I know, but that's actually a complaint. I was reading through a lot of these reviews, and that's a common complaint, that the poster was really, really bad, and that it didn't convey the movie well enough.
What was the poster? Was it just D'Addario and Devine?
And Pretty Boy.
Robin.
So, yeah. So, the three of them. And that's
it. Carrie should have been in it.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Well, no, because then it would have given it away so much that she is a love interest.
Then put King Batch in there, too. Throw everybody in there.
Okay. Well, now we're just getting crazy. See, look, when this says, okay, so first off, the creators need to pay better attention to designing the poster. Does not do justice.
They need to
the
pay better attention to designing the logic of the movie. We're going to worry about the poster? The entire movie is flawed.
A lot of people.
What site are these reviews from?
I'm just saying. This one says, this was hilarious.
Are you making these up?
Of all the movies I watched, this is definitely my favorite. I honestly don't like it, how they cuss so much, and I really don't like the talk of sex. But this is also by far one of the funniest. 5 stars.
Wait. Did that start out by all the movies I've seen, this is my favorite? Like all this week, all today?
That's all they say.
That's ambiguous. Can you send them a request of clarification? I just need to know what they're trying to say.
A lot of people are supporting it. See, this one says that the purpose is everything happens for a reason, and no matter how hard we try to change it, if it's meant to be, it will happen. Aww. See?
I mean, you read that message in 2 seconds. I could have gotten that in 2 seconds instead of watching a movie for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, but it was fun. No, definitely worth the watch. Absolutely love the ending. The movie at first was kind of sad, but it turned out to be really fun. It's jovial, classic rom-com. Loved it. Hilarious. Very cute. Definitely a chick flick. Oh, let me just start by saying that this is Netflix hidden gem.
Oh my gosh. You know, Netflix has an algorithm to target people. Maybe they're just targeting the exact right people for this movie.
Well, it came up on my suggested list.
It did not come up on my suggested list. I had to search for it.
I had to search for it. Okay, well, listen.
When I hit play, next was like, are you sure you want to watch this piece of garbage? And I was like, yeah, I got to.
She's making me do it. She's forcing me again. All right, well, listen, I really don't have much else to say about it.
I just thought of one thing.
Okay.
One neat little timeline quirk was when, I think it was when Noah was rich, Robbie plays the Noah part. Like, he's in the bathroom talking about taquitos. Yes. And I was like, yes. I mean, yeah, it's kind of stupid, but I kind of liked it. I mean, it's not like this movie has to be ultra smart. Like, stupid stuff like that, I like. I mean, it's kind of dumb, but I just need to do more with stuff like that. Like, these little crossovers, intersections.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, for like, what, an hour and a half?
Quit giving excuses. No.
Okay, well, I would say to watch this movie, give it a try. It's not going to be the best movie you ever see, but it's definitely not going to be the worst.
It's not going to be the best, it won't be the worst.
Huffed into the microphone.
I mean, that's not even like a positive review of it. For
it's an average movie that you will enjoy, but you're not going to fall in love with it. It's just, you know, it's just a fun movie that you can watch
filler.
And forget
it's
about.
It's a filler movie.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You're going to the grocery store. You want to have something on for your animals. Put it on. Go to the grocery store. And I don't know. It's not an out-and-out terrible bad movie, but it's very cliche, very predictable. And it's a synthesis of all these other movies that have done parts of what this is trying to do better. This just makes no attempt to, and the movie never says, this one aspect, we're going to nail this one aspect. It's like, we're going to try a little bit of everything, and we're bound to find somebody to like this. And apparently there's a lot of people out there, which is just baffling to me.
I do. I enjoyed it. Not my favorite, but I enjoyed it.
This is a rom-com, and so I was like, we have so many rom-coms like this, where people are pining over a girl and they don't like it. We got to come up with a unique idea. Let's throw in time travel. How does that work? Who cares? Just fit it in there. And this is
I was fine with that. I have no problem with that. All right. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I've said it all. It's all on the table.
All right. Well, let me tell people where they can find us on the internet before you tell where people can find you. You can find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram. And you can go on TeePublic and look at our merchandise. You can search for Box Office Refund. We just got new merchandise up. Ward designed a really cool Boondock Saints 2 All Saints Day inspired t-shirt that is brand new and it is up. So you should go check it out. Ward, where can people find you?
Whatever our TeePublic website address is, that's it. Just go there.
Excellent.
That's all you need to see from me.
Excellent. You can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Twitter and Instagram. All right, guys, watch this movie.
No, you don't need to.
Whatever you want to do.
Don't do it.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.